coming up on this brand new episode of Zero Doinks. We debut a new segment that's all about you, the Bears fan from across this great land of ours and overseas, possibly. We'll see what the future brings. Bears training camp may be starting soon once the NFL and the players figure a few things out. We'll talk all about it. Hams and Ted is back as baseball here in the city of Chicago is on the doorstep of happening. Yes, cannot wait. Hams and Bread also back. We will give you some red hot tips for legal sports gambling. See Me After Class makes a return as well, and much, much more on this episode of Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Zero Doinks.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Zero Doinks. We are back in business. It's late July. We're feeling great. Training camp's around the corner, probably. Dan Doinks is right in front of my own eyeballs in real life. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm great. Whoa, 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 whoa. I'm sitting next to a bunch of nails in your basement. Very unfinished basement. It's going to look great when it's done. I'm feeling great. Feeling real good. We're, oh, so close to training camp.
How excited are you to debut yet another new segment tonight, Dan? How pumped?
I was sitting in my bed last week wondering, could we have more segments? The answer is yes, because we could squeeze in at least one more. And I haven't heard it yet, but I'm hopeful there's a jingle, intro song. I don't know what we call it, but I feel like that's in the hopper as well.
That's right. You know, you can't help but add, I think, the 12th segment maybe that we have on the show that we'll inconsistently bring back here and there. Just keeping you on your toes, Zero Doinks fans. Follow us at Zero Doinks. Well, tonight, besides this new segment, spoiler alert, it's called Fans and Eggs. We're going to talk some Bears. We're going to talk some red hot NFL, what's going on around the league as we enter training camp season, probably. What else we got? We got a little Hams and Ted, a little Hams and Bread. Smack, See Me After Class is returning. How you feeling about this agenda tonight, Dan Doinks?
I'm hoping we could squeeze in one more segment, maybe. Maybe, maybe not. Feel good about it. It's going to be a little less heavy than the last one. It's good. We're going to joke around a little bit more. So I feel good about it.
It's going to be awesome. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next segment.
Indiana. Whoa, 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 whoa. We are back on Zero Doinks. Suck my dick. Sorry about that. We're back. We're going to do some Bears talk. We're very close. Camp is close? I don't know. I feel like it changes by the minute. Washington has a name change to nothing. Just Washington. Good job. Way to brainstorm on that one, you dumb fucks. You racist bastards. But we got Bears camp coming up, I think, in Lake Forest. What do we got, Bill?
Yeah, they are headed toward Lake Forest after the NFL and NFLPA arrive in agreement on a number of items. Looked like the players on Twitter this week kind of like had a soft revolt, like we really want to play, but we want to make sure things are safe. Russell Wilson chimed in, Khalil Mack, others, all kind of with a consistent message. Did you catch any of that on Twitter?
Adam Shaheen said nothing, and that spoke volumes. Cut his ass immediately. I did see a little bit of that, and I can't say that I disagree with the players, but I'll be honest, I don't have a good grasp of what they're worried about, just safety issues all around. Football is a pretty awful sport to try to push right now. I mean, they're basically just dudes breathing into each other's mouths every single play.
Did you see that Oakley has been working with the NFL on a new helmet or something? They're going to have like examples of, that's the wrong, prototypes of these things at these camps. What exactly can they do to stop a disease from flying around?
I think it's just a shield, right? That goes all the way, like it's basically the fucking shade on the face mask. It just goes all the way down. I don't know. That's maybe that'll help. I think players are already like, nope, fuck that. I don't know. I think they just, I think this how this is going to play out. They're just going to say, fuck it. You need money. You're just going to go play. Yeah. We'll test you. Yeah, maybe. We'll look at you and be like, you don't look like you're running hot. You're fine. Just go out there and bang heads. And we'll figure it out later. We'll settle a lawsuit with you years from now. Just go out and play. That's how I feel like it's going to shake out. It seems like they're making progress with the preseason being canceled altogether. Well, I don't even know if that's official. I'm not mad about it. As a season ticket holder, definitely not mad about that. From Bears' standpoint, that's very bad. You have a quarterback competition. You need preseason. So, I don't know.
I like that we've completely flipped. Not that I want preseason, but this was the one year we're on record as hating preseason, actually being pro Nagy, at least going into last year, his philosophy of sit everybody that actually matters, right? But this is, I agree, would have loved to have seen Mitch versus Foles in the preseason. Yeah, so the players want zero, the owners want two. Are they going to arrive at one game? Would that be weird? Is that going to happen, one preseason game? Or are they just going to say, oh, fuck you?
I guess I didn't realize. I thought that was, it's not a done deal yet, though, right? I don't know. I think everyone's okay with zero at this point, especially if there's not going to be any fans. I don't think owners could push the issue because that's just free money for them. I don't know that. I don't know how that works out. And the preseason's stupid anyway, from a fan's perspective. You hit it right on the head. This is the one year we fucking needed it. And God damn it. God damn it. But do we trust that Nagy will figure it out on his own? Who's the starter this year? And do you think this gives Mitch a leg up? Since he's the most tenured guy, maybe not biggest dick, most tenured guy in Lake Forest.
Well, let's not rule out Sweaty Teddy's giant penis. If we're going to go down that road, I bet he's probably has a hog and it absolutely counts beans.
Oh, he's a micropeen guy. I think that's been documented from Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. What would you say one episode? Shave my Virginia or something. It was great. Listen to the best of, and you'll hear that very gross quote from Dan Doinks. It was fantastic. All I know for sure is that the Bears rookies signed their deals, so that makes them eligible to arrive at Hallis Hall whenever that's allowed. We're talking about Nick Foles. Heard a random Nick Foles question brought up by the Parkins and McNeil show. I think I got that wrong. I might have flipped them. Matt Spiegel was in for Danny Mac, and they were kind of saying, okay, Nick Foles, haven't really heard from Nick Foles. Kind of weird, right? That's a little weird. Just had a baby. Is he the type of guy, like of all the guys, that would like opt out of the season? Could you imagine if Nick Foles opted out after all this, after Pace gives up some capital, which I was okay with, draft capital, but in retrospect, that would be a very Bears quarterback, Ryan Pace sort of thing to have happen.
Holy shit. Yeah, I did not know that was coming. Are you fucking kidding me? Now I'm worried. That's insane. I guess so. I guess he could. Are those guidelines set already that you can opt out like baseball? I'm sure they'll set something up like that, but that would be crazy. That would be perfect Bears form. But I already can see what I'm going to do. If that happens, I'm going to be like, this has lit a fire under Mitch's ass, and he's going to figure it out. And he's going to be fucking amazing. He's going to be better than Mahomes, and we're going to give him $700 million.
Yeah, speaking of which, since our last recording, Pat Mahomes did sign for at least $1 billion, from what I understand. And I think it was like a 28-year deal. Is that accurate?
It was half $1 billion. And I enjoyed the media spin of, well, it's actually not enough. He's worth more, which is my favorite thing of all time. It's either you have to jump to the conclusion, like LeBron signing a max deal in the NBA, like actually this is a Darren Rovell thing. He's worth $85 million a year. It's like he's worth what he's worth, and that's going to probably eventually hurt the Chiefs on signing guys, but this is they're going to be fucking awesome for a while. I mean, it was the perfect move. He seems like a good dude. He's got his shit together. He's unbelievable. So good move, but in true Bears form lately, who was trending on Twitter when Mahomes signed his deal? But Mitch fucking Trubisky. It's like it never stops. We talked about this last episode with Cam Newton. It's like it never ends. A quarterback signs on a team, in a semi-pro team in Warsaw, Indiana, and Mitch is fucking trending. I mean, it's unbelievable. He can't catch a break.
No, I have now come to like full sympathy toward Mitch. It's like, okay. Mitch could be better. Let's say that, but he shouldn't be getting shit on for all this stuff. I do hope that he has a great year. You asked, does this give Mitch a leg up? I did not answer that. I'm going to answer it right now. And I know you've been waiting for my answer. Yes, it absolutely gives Mitch a leg up. God, and I keep saying leg, and I keep thinking about Nick Foles.
Literally all I was thinking of every time you say leg.
No, you're good. But I think it has to. I know that Nick Foles has experience with all of these new assistants, but do you think Matt Nagy's even listening to these assistants yet or is going to? Because you also said, should we trust Matt Nagy to make the right choice? I don't know. I'm not sure.
He's not led me to believe that he knows the difference. I think I heard Pompey Gross on the Score talking about how Nagy's like behind the scenes acknowledging that he fucked up last year by not committing to the run and all that. I feel like he's just saying that. Oh, the other thing Pompey said, maybe it wasn't Pompey, it was one of those assholes, that he's like, yes, I made a mistake by not playing guys in the preseason. I was Spiegel who came back and said, do you think he said that knowing that preseason probably won't happen? It was a great question. It was fucking Pompey. I'm bouncing back and forth. The hams are slapping. And he's like, no, I think we trust. Like, why would he lie about it? We don't trust Nagy at all. He can't. He lost that trust last year with his shitty play calling. But did you see the breaking news today with the Bears?
I don't know that I did, Dan. What broke?
We have a tight end that's no longer with us.
Ooh.
I wish it was Adam Shaheen. It should be Adam Shaheen. Ben Broniker was let go today.
Wow. Where are we going to find another frying pan hand tight end? What's going on? Did you think they did that for social distancing reasons in the tight end room? They might have. They had to do something per the CDC.
I think he was our leading receiver in the tight end room last year. I'm not going to lie. I think there was a spot for him on this team. But, I mean, I'm on record that Shaheen does not belong. So, if they're going to keep that fucker around but not Ben Broniker. Sorry, I didn't say his name right initially. I mean, that guy at least can be a fullback. Like, he can block. Shaheen provides no value unless there's an uprising in Chicago and you need someone with a shitload of guns. That's the only value that he holds. Hey, Adam, you're scaring me. Your Instagram scares me.
You have mentioned on the show before, but I can't get enough of it. I love it. Speaking of things with little value, I don't know if I agree or disagree with that. The Madden ratings came out. The hams are slapping right now. Don't come a slapping. So, Madden ratings. I've not played Madden in a while, probably 4 years or so, but I used to be a huge Madden fan. Any surprises? I'll be honest, I'm asking that without knowing who's rated what.
Oh, boy. I was hoping you were more tapped in than I was. Okay, so this goes back to our last episode. I think that's when we did the CBS rankings and they had Khalil Mack out of the top 10. Madden had him rated, I think, the third best pass rusher. So sad day when a fucking video game is more in tune with real players than CBS Sports. Grow up, CBS Sports. You only do AFC games. Fuck you.
All right, I got some stats. Thank you to one of our great fans. Ooh, that sounded good. Mark Hammond, probably absolutely no coincidence that a guy with Hammond in his name loves us. Hams! All right, he said that the Bears are ranked 11th, and I'm assuming you're not lying to us, Mark. 81 overall as a team, 11th in the league, 79 on offense, 85 on defense. How does that make you feel? 85 defense.
Damn. 85. I don't really give a shit about the Madden ratings, only if it helps me prove my point that that Khalil Mack's still an elite pass rusher. But otherwise, I don't really give a shit. I think they did. It just showed, I think, that our defense is still strong and we have solid players there, and the offense is a little scary. I think we had pretty much nobody except, I think, Allen Robinson was high for pass catching. Just funny, they like break it out in speed and it's like pass catching for wide receivers. Like, that's pretty important.
It's kind of a thing that you need. I thought I read, and again, not a big Madden ratings research guy, apparently, Jalen Johnson, the number 2 rated defensive rookie, I believe, on Madden. I think they love Jalen Johnson. I absolutely cannot back that up, though. I thought I saw it, but I've been drinking a lot lately.
I can give you no support on that one. Yeah, you've been out of town this week doing a lot of drinking. You want to share that with us?
Yep, I've been in the Great Northwest, Wisconsin, and COVID kind of happening in Walgreens, mostly not happening elsewhere, apparently. Very confusing, Wisconsin. Get your shit together. I was on a lake. I'm a little bit tan, but I'm very Irish, so I'm a bit burned, especially in my grundle, because I love to tan my asshole. It's not true. That's a trending thing, though. Wasn't that like a hot thing with millennials? Like, you spread them cheeks, and I don't even know if you rub cream up in there.
Yeah, I think when Mercury is in retrograde, you point your butthole to the sky, and that really helps get a good sizzle. Get some, like, good chi in your butthole. So, yeah, I think you're right on the money there. I don't think you're going to get good butthole sun in Wisconsin. I think you got to go to at least a Santa Fe for that. But we still talking Bears?
I can think of no other way to close out this segment. Bears and NFL talk. This has been red hot. Well, the pen is dry, but my hams are soaking wet. You know a good lie has got some fans and eggs in it. I've waited my whole life for a chance to hear a segment with their fans while I suck on my beer. From Topeka to Maine, from Tokyo to Spain, we all want you here. We want you all here. From New York to Fort Wayne, by Greyhound or by train, I guess I'll keep waiting. Waiting for fans and eggs. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Fans and Eggs. This is a new segment where Zero Doinks visits with Bears fans from across this great country of ours, maybe overseas too. We'll see how many fans we have. But we do this while serving up a hot skillet filled with conversation. Today, we have a gentleman. We've talked about him a few times on the show. It is Phil from Indiana. Phil, how are you doing tonight, man?
Doing great. Just got watching some opening day baseball until the rain delay, but baseball's back, sports is back. We're ready to roll.
We are ready to roll. And Dan Doinks, he's been excited to talk to you all day. He hasn't stopped texting me about it.
You said overseas. Is there a river that splits Indiana and Illinois? I don't think there is, right? I think you could step on both sides of the border. I don't know. That was dumb. Probably some fireworks on one side and corn on the other. Phil, speaking of baseball, that is maybe a weird start. Who's your baseball team? I don't think we ever established that.
Well, Dan, I am right there with you. I am diehard Chicago Cubs.
God bless you, Phil. I knew that's why I liked you. Is that the majority of people you're around in Indiana? Are they mostly Cubs fans?
The majority is, I would say, probably 65-35, Cubs versus Sox.
It's similar to here, I'd say. Probably, I bet 65% of Chicagoans like the Cubs, and they're wrong. 65% are wrong. So, Phil, you currently have the pleasure of seeing both of our faces via Squadcast right now. First question for you from me, Dan Doinks, hot or not?
Well, right now all I'm seeing on Dan and Bill is a map.
Oh, so red hot, I think. If you're really, if you're Christopher Columbus. Whoops, am I allowed to say that?
You're not allowed to say that anymore. That name is not allowed in the United States anymore.
He's been canceled, but I'll answer it for you. Dan Doinks is red hot.
Judging by the avatars, I would say both are red hot.
What do you say, the avatar, Bill? You look like your face is melting, right? I mean, it's not maybe too far off for me, but that definitely doesn't look like you. It looks more like Ellen DeGeneres than anything. Phil, where in Indiana are you located? I don't know if we've established that.
Warsaw, Indiana, which is northern Indiana, like mid to northern Indiana, about 45 minutes west of Fort Wayne.
Okay. Boy, I wish I was looking at that map right now.
About 2 hours north of Indianapolis.
Okay. So why don't you walk us through, how did you become a Bears fan?
Well, basically born and raised a Bears fan. Most people in my family are diehard Bears fans. My dad was, and I just pretty much followed every team that he rooted for going up through my childhood. So I was just born into Chicago sports, and that's where I remain.
That's fantastic. Do you have a favorite player of all time? Favorite Bears player?
That's a tough one because there's so many to choose from. I would say, obviously, you know, consensus favorite for everybody would be Sweetness, but favorite player to just watch, most exciting player to watch that you just couldn't take your eyes off, Devin Hester.
Where were you when Devin Hester ran back the opening kickoff in Super Bowl 41? That's what I want to know. Where was Phil in Indiana?
I was at buddy's house. And we were having a big Super Bowl party, and it got wild real quick. I was about four beers in already.
I actually would love to hear more about this. When did you know it was over for the Bears? I think I knew pretty much after the kickoff that we're winning the Super Bowl, it's going to be a blowout, to, oh, they have Peyton Manning. Actually, that's a good point. Like, was it extra hard for you being in Indiana during that Super Bowl?
It was. I was watching the game with some Colts fans. The worst part about it was, you know, Devin Hester returned it for a touchdown. Then Peyton Manning immediately throws an interception. I was jumping up and down. I was like, we got this. And then, you know, Sexy Rex, he strikes again.
Rex. I'm still holding out hope that Rex is going to be awesome, that we're going to see good Rex. I don't think that's happening. So, speaking of quarterbacks, Nick Foles or Mitch Trubisky, who's your guy?
I mean, I ride high on Trubisky. I have ever since we drafted him. Last year was a disappointment, but, you know, he played three quarters of the season with a torn labrum, so I'm going to put an asterisk beside last season. He goes into this year knowing – He's got to prove his worth now. This year is going to determine whether or not he becomes an elite quarterback in the NFL or if he becomes a career backup in the NFL.
That is true. It's a huge year for both our beloved Bears and Mitch Trubisky. We're back here just in case you just tuned in. This is Fans and Eggs. new segment where we serve up a hot skillet of conversation with a Bears fan. Today, we have Phil from Indiana. Phil, famously, as we talked about, you live in Indiana. At what age are you required to attend a Klan rally?
There's not really technically an age. I tend to stay away from it. Anymore, the Klan in Indiana has kind of subsided a little bit because meth has taken over.
That's I'm surprised the two don't work together a little bit. You can slip a few sniffs. I don't know how you take meth under that robe. No, that probably doesn't happen.
It's a suppository, I think. Big drug guy. I think that's how it works.
That might very well be. There's several different ways to take it, and none of it's good.
That's well said. Don't do drugs, kids. Well, and Phil, we appreciate you appearing on our podcast before Rick Fieldsman scooped you up for Under the Corners. We're all desperately wanting that podcast to hit. What do you think about Rick Fieldsman? Do you have any opinion on him, Phil?
Well, I'll tell you what. I told you guys in your DMs that I had a red-hot question that was going to knock your socks off and shock and astonish fans, and it just so happens to be a question about your good pal, always mentioned on the podcast, Rick Fieldsman. I hear it's a wide-known fact that Mr. Fieldsman has no thumbs, correct?
That is a fact. Yes, yes, that is a fact.
And it sounds from every time you've talked to him on the podcast that he seems to be a rather lonely man, correct?
I would agree with that. I think even Rick would if he was real honest with himself.
So I'm wondering, curious, maybe you can ask him, maybe you already have, how does a lonely man with no thumbs masturbate?
Unbelievable question. Unbelievable question. Oh, I cannot wait to take that to Rick. That is incredible. That's a hard-hitting question there, Phil. Have you ever thought about being a news journalist? Because that was awesome.
You know, I've thought about being a sportscaster, but, you know, I just don't have the degree for it.
If I'm going to take a wild guess at it, I'm just he just rubs his junk up against a wall and just sees what, just see what happens. If I had to guess with Rick, he's a fucking weirdo. Speaking of thumbs are important as a umpire in softball, and I may have seen a video of you accurately calling an out at home. Was that actually you in that video I saw?
That was actually me.
You looked like an absolute pro in where you stood, like how to move to properly call that. I was impressed. Have you been doing that for a while?
I've been doing it for 13 years now. And by the book, I was a little bit out of position, but I was working a one-man system instead of a two-man system, so I had to actually cheat up the third baseline a little bit because the batter runner was standing on second. And as the throw came into the plate, if she breaks to third, I got to make the call at home and then be able to quickly turn and go make the call at third if she breaks for third. If the runner would have been safe at home, then I would have had to play at third possibly.
That's incredible. Do you have a favorite Major League Baseball ump? Mine personally is Hunter Wendelstead.
Cowboy Joe West for me. Just wanted to jump in there.
I would say either Cowboy Joe West or Jerry Davis.
I don't know Jerry Davis. I'm not big on umps. I just know Joe West because he's a fat bastard and he sucks at umpiring. Sorry, he's an inspiration for you.
Well, Jerry
he makes
Davis,
it about him. That's what I don't like with Cowboy Joe West. All right, hit me with Jerry Davis. Who's this fellow?
A lot of my ump attire that I have as far as my umpire pants and some of my equipment actually came from Jerry Davis's website. He's got a website for umpire and referee apparel, which makes some of the top of the line gear in online.
Phil, let me ask you this. Finish this sentence. The Ameristar in East Chicago makes me feel blank.
Can't really say anything on that. I've never been to it. That's one of the few casinos in Indiana I have not been to.
I would highly recommend you do not go. It is one of the worst casinos I've been to. Yes.
Judging by some of your episodes, it sounds pretty recommended not to go there.
It's very close to where Rick Fielsman lives, too. So unless you want to see a thumbless man mashing his balls against the wall, I'd recommend staying away from the Ameristar.
And usually I typically stay away from the East Chicago area because, I mean, I've driven through there before on my way to Chicago, or actually drove through there one time on my way to Bourbon A to training camp. And it's one of those places you drive through and you just roll your windows up and lock your doors and look straight forward.
Do you, speaking of Bourbonnais, was that like an annual trip for you? Had you been a few times?
It was annual. I want to say about the last at least 9 years, maybe 10. I would have to go back and count all my autographed footballs to be for sure.
Any Adam Shaheen autographs? And if so, how far do you think I could punt that ball?
No Adam Shaheen autographs. I'm glad I don't have any because it would have actually driven the value of some of the footballs down.
Who would be the autograph you'd be most embarrassed about to tell someone? You have any John Wayne Gacy autographs?
No John Wayne Gacy. Definitely not any John Wayne Gacy. Maybe might have had a Christopher Columbus one, but not positive on that.
I was trying to think of like who's the shittiest bear ever, like of an autograph I had. I got Jim Harbaugh's autograph, like when he was playing quarterback. That one's kind of come back around to be all right, but I got him to sign a pennant. I don't know why I had it when I saw him, and he autographed it, and I framed it. It's still floating around my house somewhere.
I think mine's Jim Flanagan, I believe, is probably my least valuable Bears player autograph, probably. Or Marcus Robinson, although I do love me some Marcus Robinson.
I mean, out of most of the autographs I have, I'm pretty pleased with them. Obviously, you know, some of them are players that never made the team, but, you know, I got some very good ones over the years as well.
All right, Phil. Well, any other hot questions that you have for us while we're staring at your eyeballs?
So, I mean, I guess what are your predictions next season for the Gray Balls regular season record?
Well, I don't know that I should say because I still don't have my shoes. They're still at the gym, and I've heard they've given them away due to COVID. I'm gonna say we're definitely defending our consolation championship. I'm gonna sneeze here. Hold on.
While Dan's sneezing, I'm. I agree. I think we're gonna rig the system so we're always in the consolation playoffs. Like, there's no reason for us to ever, you know, get in the top six seed. So it felt so good throwing back those hams after a title. I want to live like that again.
There hasn't been another champion since. So, champions of the world, the last ones.
Definitely champions of the world. I mean, no championships after that. No sports after that. You guys, like, are on top of the world right now.
Yep. We've won more championships than LeBron this year. So, suck on that, LeBron. Phil, how often do you come to Chicago?
Was planning on purchasing myself some tickets to go with a couple friends to Texans at Bears. Not sure if that's going to happen now.
Hopefully it'll happen. Maybe not with fans, though, unfortunately. Maybe we could sneak you onto the sideline. You'd actually look good in a full uniform, Phil.
I played a semi-pro corner and wide receiver. Played for a team in out of Warsaw, Indiana, called the Kosciuszko County Mustangs. Played 2 years doing that. Then just realized I was too old for that shit.
We might need a whole nother segment to get the full rundown of your semi-pro career.
Sorry, I'm moving around, boys. The dog's chewing on everything.
That happens. That is absolutely what happens here on Fans and Eggs. Phil, this has been glorious. We appreciate your time. And definitely would love to have you on the show again. Thank you for debuting this new segment, Fans and Eggs, Phil in Indiana.
Definitely would love to come back and talk some Bears football, especially come mid-season when we're, 7-1, maybe 8-0?
It definitely ain't no. Sounds good. Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, boys. You fellas have a nice evening and stay safe out there.
Here we go. Hams, 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 and Ted. 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 Baseball talk. Here we go. Hams and Ted.
Welcome back, Zero Doinks, one of our newest segments. Until next episode, which I'm sure we will have yet another new segment. This one is Hams and Ted. Now that baseball season hath arrived, as of tonight, as we're recording, the Dodgers and the Giants are playing, and the Nationals and Yankees are tied? No. Suspended? Maybe. Hard to say. We're trying to figure out the rules here as we go. But most importantly, the Cubs and the Sox kicking off their 2020 season in less than 24 hours. We love baseball because it's a real sport. Dan Doigs, how you feeling about opening day for the Cubs tomorrow?
Well, I want to ask you a question. How does it feel to have to be supporting the 2020 World Series champion White Sox after they beat the Cubs the first night? That's all I saw on Twitter was White Sox world champions for winning one exhibition game. So congratulations on that. That's great. That's unbelievable. Does that feel good?
It feels good. I will take any win where I can get it as a Sox fan. Where's the parade going to be? Do you know? It's kind of a tough time for that.
Yeah, it's actually going to be up your butt and around the corner. Okay, so Cubs, Sox tomorrow. All jokes aside, our teams are going to be – it's going to be a fun summer if it lasts. God, your Sox look sexy. They look so sexy. But you can talk about that. Cubs are going to be a mess for the most part. Their bullpen's going to be trash. So I'm calling it right now. Cubs overs are going to be red hot this year. Overs on run total overs. Maybe even on Cubs, I'm sure Vegas won't adjust for that. Rivers probably will and give you shitty odds, which I think we'll probably talk about later. But Cubs, it'll be interesting to see what happens if they start off slow. Will they try to dump guys? It's just two completely different stories, north side, south side. I'm excited, though. I'm just excited to have baseball back, see if the Cubs start hitting and can do that. Their starting pitching will be okay for first few games. Back end of the rotations, and not so good. And the bullpen's going to be real bad. So Cubs overs. You heard it here from Dan Doinks.
I like it. It's a little hint toward Hams and Bread. This is Hams and Ted. Did you watch the Cubs-Sox preseason game one or two? Preseason? Spring training? What do we even call it? I don't know. Did you watch either, or both? Or neither? Neither.
Okay, confused about my options. I watched a good portion of both of them, actually. And the Sox are awesome. Their hitting is awesome. Dallas Keuchel, holy shit, he looked great. Hard to gauge. I mean, it was mostly starters, though. It wasn't like, you know, beginning of spring training when it's guys with numbers like 69 out there hitting and playing second base. It was the real deal. And I don't know, man. The Sox, that lineup is scary and sexy. And I'm going to be pissed and I'm going to give you shit about it. But deep down, I'm kind of excited because they're fun. They're a fun fucking team. So I did watch it. The Sox, they're just moving in different directions, both teams.
They are. And yeah, I'm excited. It's been a bit of a, you know, a trip down the doldrums for the last 8+ years. It's been awful as a White Sox fan. But if you've been patient, you may be rewarded this year. That's the hope. Louis Robert, Louis Robert. I have never been more excited as a Sox fan outside of when they signed Bo Jackson. I think that's probably the last time I was this excited about a player arriving. Eloy, but Louis he's just, that dude's fucking special. He's, I don't know what you described him as something via text. I can't remember, but he's a fucking beast.
I said, it looks like LeBron is batting. Oh. I think that was what I said. And Eloy is in the same boat. I mean, to see those two dudes, I think they're batting back to back, aren't they? I think that's what they were doing in the exhibition. It was like, and then Abreu's in the mix and Tim Anderson. And that was before Moncada, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a sexy, sexy lineup. I think I'll say it though. I think Grandal is overrated. I don't understand why people love him so much. And I've seen a lot of him with the fucking Dodgers and mm-hmm. with the Brewers. Mm-hmm. That dude never scared me as a Cubs fan. He never scared me. Am I wrong there?
I don't necessarily know that you're wrong. I think, like, in the context of catchers, he's scary. Overall, he's probably not scary. I think he's more popular with, like, his pitch framing. I think that's what gives him his value as a defender. I hear you. To me, that's fucking gravy at this point. But I'm so excited.
All right, let me jump in there. I'll help you out. I think Brian McCann is a fucking great catcher as well. Like the one
James. We have the James.
Oh, James. James. Shit. Okay. Are you sure? Yeah, you're right. Oh, fuck. McCann. I'll just call him McCann. The combo of those two is solid. That's a great 1-2 punch. But Grandal, like everyone, let's relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you know that he's a great at framing pitches, or you've been told that?
I've been told that, absolutely. I am not a big, like, catcher pitch and frames guy. I'm not. I saw Tom Fornelli on Twitter, who was also at Wright Sox. Kind of weird. Really weird. Tom, I feel like Tom is like my brother from another mother, though, because he's an Illini guy, a Sox guy, and just a big, he's a CBS sports guy. So he is me, I am him, although I think he's 500 pounds, which is fine. Nothing wrong with that. I want to slather him up with some butter. But no, he showed a graphic of all the pitches that should have been called balls and they were strikes, and that was Grandal recently, and now I'm in.
All right, that's fair. I wasn't disputing that. I've heard that as well, and I'm like, what does that mean? Does that account for anything? The Grandal thing is he doesn't scare me. That's all I'm saying. And I feel like he's getting a lot of hype when he signed with the Sox, and he's like, he'd be like number 8 most exciting player on your team. And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm even trashing the Sox. I'm picking nits here to figure out how to shit on the Sox. I mean, it's a sexy time for them. And congrats to you on winning the World Series this year.
Thank you so much. Here's two ways you can shit on the Sox if we're all, you know, thinking with our heads, not our dicks. First of all, not having Nick Madrigal on the opening day roster to get service time for 6 fucking days is an embarrassment. Rick Hahn, Jerry Reinsdorf, etc. Whoever's making that decision, fuck you. Fuck you. He's the best second baseman, should be starting an opening day. Fuck you.
Is this an arbitration thing?
Yes, it's that fucking bullshit. It's a Chris Bryant shit. He would have been gone through like May 15th or whatever in the minors to get an extra service year. I don't like it.
It's how it's set up. It's not me. It's not right. But the extra service time is worth it. I mean, the Cubs aren't like, that was bullshit. The only person who cares right now is Chris Bryant. Rightfully so, yeah. But that's an agreed upon union rule that he tried to fight on behalf of people like Madrigal, which everybody understood. But that was an agreed upon thing that will probably be addressed in the next CBA. But I don't think it's a bad thing as a Sox fan. I mean, I get it because it's a shortened season and that's why you're mad. But I mean, literally, I just named like seven other sexy players, you're going to be fine.
I appreciate that. Thank you for talking me off the ledge. And I do believe when he comes up, he will bat ninth to make your point. However, still want to see him. I'm just so goddamn excited. I don't want any wet blankets. Although, let me give you one here, potentially. It's not that. The pitching overall does make me nervous. I think the bats are there. I want to believe that Carlos Rodon will be back in action, have a good year. That's still to be determined. Dallas Keuchel, you mentioned he had an awesome, you know, game two of the spring training or whatever we're calling it. I don't totally trust him. I like him in the rotation. I think he's more than solid. That's fantastic. Giolito needs to put 2 years together to make everybody feel comfortable. I love him. I feel confident he will do it. Still to be determined. I love me some Dylan Cease, but he's still an up-and-comer. Will he do it this year? Don't know. We got Gio Gonzalez. He's a guy that'll give you 5 to 6 innings. Solid. He'll blow out his shoulder at some point. That's guaranteed. And the bullpen is should be good, but bullpens are weird. Bullpens are the weirdest thing in Major League Baseball, right?
Yeah, I think you're good. Your bullpen's solid. C-Sheck was hit or miss with the Cubs last year, but he was a guy you knew he was going to generally be okay. Like, I think that was a good pickup for the Sox. That one kind of hurt just because he's a tall, lanky bastard and he throws weird too. It was just fun to watch. Yeah, the Sox are going to be fine. So I'm shocked you've gone this long and not brought up wet blanket being Renteria.
Yeah, well, that is absolutely – well, when I saw a report last week that he wasn't in camp, I got so excited, like maybe they fired him and just didn't tell anybody. Like, we brought back, you know, some old bastard like Tony La Russa or somebody as the manager, but he was out for a funeral, so I kind of felt bad after that. But he likes to bunt too much, and he likes to fuck with the lineup too much, and he doesn't know how to manage a bullpen. Those are my complaints. He can prove me wrong. I'd love him to prove me wrong. Also, looks very swollen wearing a mask.
Sounds like you just complained about small ball. Wasn't that your 2005 championship?
It was, but in 2005, yeah, that was a different game, wasn't it? I mean, Ozzy, that could be our next manager probably now that he's back with NBC Sports or whatever. I feel like Kenny is mended fences with him, you know, because Kenny's pretty much the run of the team. No offense, Rick Fox. Oh, if Rick Fox was running the team, he'd be so handsome. But I don't. Yeah, I hear you. But honestly, that was a misnomer with the 05 Sox too. Like, they did some small ball. Scott Podsednik, very fast, very stolen basey. But it was all about the boppers. It was Konerko hitting a grand slam in the World Series. Like, they won based off of the home run, generally. We'll see. Extra innings. Future guest on the show, or past guest you may have heard, Phil from Indiana, said that the extra inning rule, second base, person on second base to start, does lend itself to a lot of bunting. We'll find out.
Did we ever determine who that person is on second base? I still don't know.
No. No, I meant to look it up. I'll be honest with you. Did you see the first 30 man for the Cubs? Were there any surprises, or am I putting you on your heels right now? I think I might be.
That's okay. No real surprises, I don't believe. I looked at it briefly. There were, because I think they have two guys on the aisle. We're just calling it the aisle now. Descalso, which launched that dude to the moon. Nobody needs him. And Quintana is on the IL. So no real surprises, I don't think. Not like the conundrum with Madrigal. But Kipnis, I guess, is like, he's probably going to be the starter tomorrow. But he's from Chicago. Did you know that?
I had heard that. That's amazing. Here's where the Cubs do have a leg up on the Sox so far, for sure. No COVID tests, or no COVID cases, rather. The Sox have had 3 already. Kind of weird. How does that happen? How are you pitching a perfect game there, Theo? You know, it's that black cloud that that rises on top of all of these seasons reopening. That was a strange, that was a very Dan Wiederer description.
Rise me up on COVID wings. I don't know why that popped in my head.
And this has been another thrilling, but very specific to opening day, Hams and Ted.
Renteria might have COVID.
Hams and bread, hams and bread, hams and bread, hams and bread.
Zero doinks!
Yes, yes.
Zero doinks!
Yes. Come on, go!
Zero doinks!
Push the ball, push the ball.
Hams and bread.
Go!
Shush out!
Yes, go, kick it in!
Hams and bread.
Let's go!
Zero doinks. We're back. It is July something something. Baseball starting soon, so I don't know. I don't know the fucking date. 23rd. Michael Jordan. We nailed it. All right, now we're doing Hams and Bread, which is a segment that always makes sense. It's about gambling. We have gambling now. A lot of gambling news. Holy shit. Holy fucking shit. I bet on baseball already tonight. And I'm ready to give it all away. I'm excited to bet on Cubs and Sox tomorrow. Bill, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are I need to get more cash into my account. So that is my priority to figure out how to make that happen because I blew a lot on stupid sports that were not American. And I am pure Americana. Dan, I have a question for you. Do you have an issue with soccer?
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned this. I've been betting. Let me just say that obviously I have some bitterness because I did well with EPL soccer. This is the Premier League. I've been told these are the premier players in the world. I've been told if there is soccer you should watch, it's this fucking league. So I won some money and then it tapered off. As we know, Rick Fieldsman's very tapped into corners. But as I was watching these games, as they take place in the middle of the workday, I turn them on. These guys stink at soccer. They just are not good. I don't understand why they can't score or at least have more opportunities to score. It'd be one thing if these goalies were like unbelievable, like hockey goalies. Like you can't score in hockey. That goal is small. And I know this is a meathead perspective. This is like, if you're a true like EPL guy, like Brother Dave, you're like, oh, you just don't get it. I watched enough of it to understand that they are really unskilled at doing the thing that they should be the best in the world at. And if these are the best in the world, that sport stinks. Here's the thing is the goal of the game is to score a fucking goal. You know what they don't do is kick it towards the goal. They do these things where they like all bunch together. They get close to the goal and they all just, oh, I'm panicked. I'm panicking. I'm just going to start shuffling my feet and then I'm going to just kick it out of bounds. It drives me fucking crazy. Why aren't they kicking it? You know, the like a corner, Rick Fieldsman again, listen to his podcast whenever it comes out. The corner is the best thing to do. It gives you the best chance. You're putting the ball in front of the goal close to it. So when it's not a corner, they do this thing where they like just kick it out to the side of the goal. And like this guy does a little shuffle step and then he just goes, oops, I fell over. It's ridiculous. So I think I had this, I think I text you this. The difference between like, let's call it, we're in Naperville, a Naperville North basketball game compared to like the Golden State Warriors. Those are two different sports. Like they're worlds apart. If I went to a Naperville North soccer game and then I went to like a Manchester United game, not much different. You could put my fat ass out there on the field and I don't think the game changes that much. Like I played travel soccer, so no big deal. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm not saying I'm going to score any goals, but I'm definitely going to suck out there. But if you put me out there with Steph Curry, that's a huge problem. I can't guard anybody. in soccer, I could hide on a soccer field. That's my point, is soccer players stink at soccer.
That is well received. I can't argue it because I wasn't as focused on the Premier League with BetRivers.com. It was more the MLS, where I think there was like 8 games in a row that nobody scored in the first half. It's like, I think that's the point, to try to, you know, knock it between the pipes. And like you said, it'd be one thing if the goalie was just going nuts, like in hockey. You know, they said the goalie's standing on his head. You know, look at Patrick Y. He's got the butterfly going on, right? There's none of that. Like, the goalie doesn't have to touch the ball for most of these games. I'm a Bundesliga guy only because I know one team, FC Schalke 04, not great. Haven't watched much Premier because I think I ran out of money. But do listen to Rick Filsman's podcast, Under the Corners, whenever he publishes his first one. I'm guessing he ran out of money for his internet bill and just can't make it happen so far. But I'm with you. I understand the frustration. It sucks to watch a sport that you have money on when they're not good at the sport they're getting paid to do. Fuck them.
Yeah, it's like they're just kicking the ball back. I know how this sounds. Like, I know that I sound like a meathead football fan talking about the lesser football, also known as soccer. Yeah, that was a dig. Go fuck yourself, brother Dave. But it feels like a sport, you know, when analytics came into basketball and they're like, you know what's efficient is shooting a corner three. You know what makes sense? Don't shoot a two at the top of the key. Why don't you take 2 steps back and shoot a three? It feels like a sport that hasn't had that, where it's like, here's an efficient spot to kick the ball towards the fucking goal. Because 2 things are going to happen. The goalie's going to catch it, okay, maybe wear him down a little bit, or you strike it good and it goes, yeah, I said strike it, and it goes in the fucking goal, or he muffs it, or you had, like, there's so many more opportunities to actually kick it towards the fucking goal instead of just giving it to some midget out on the side, and then he does a little dance and he goes ooh, 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 and then he falls over and hopes that, like, the ref thinks he kicked the defender kicked him, so he gets a penalty kick. Like, it's bullshit. Like, quit pussyfooting around and try to score, you fuckers.
I have a quick question too. What I've noticed, not to mention Rick Fieldsman again and his love for corners, but I've noticed with corners, they'll sometimes kick it toward the net, right? Why the fuck does the goalie always seem to weasel his way to be able to get the ball before other guys can, like, get the fuck in his way and keep the ball alive? It's like, it seems to be a dead play if it's toward the goal. I know he's the only guy that can use his hands. I'm not trying to be a meatball. I understand that. But it's like, can somebody not, like, can they not get him the fuck out of the way somehow? Or, I don't know, aim the ball differently? Not a big soccer guy, but it's just a question.
I think there's restrictions on, like, getting in the goalie's way. However, why aren't they better at getting away from the goalie? Get out in front. I legitimately don't understand this. Like, you can't. I was watching games just out of pure rage because I didn't have money on, because I'm like, I'm missing something. Like, let me see other teams. And I think I watched every Premier team. They all stink. They're all terrible. They're amazing athletes. Like, I'm not saying they're not good athletes. Like, I get it. Like, Matt Stairs played in Major League Baseball for fucking ever, and he was a fat bastard. I'm not saying they're not amazing athletes and they're in amazing shape, but they stink at the sport they play. They're not good at it. I feel like they've gotten a pass, and you know, you hear people say, if Americans sent their best athletes to play soccer, we probably would dominate. I 1,000% believe that. If LeBron played soccer, he'd probably be fucking amazing, because he would have headers like nobody would be able to reach it. So stop it, you stupid Europeans, with your bullshit and acting like, oh, it's the most popular sport in the world. it's boring and you all stink at it. And you know why you guys like it? Because you could just go out there at any moment and just fill in and nobody would know the difference.
I love it. Just a little shot across the pond to you, you loyal Zero Doinks listeners. Apologies. We know you're polite. You're more polite than us, but your sport stinks. Let's go back to this part of the pond, and specifically in Illinois, where I don't know if it was FanDuel or DraftKings that teased us earlier this week. Dan Doinks sent a text to myself, Rick Fieldsman, Coach Q, saying that their betting app is about to be live in the state of Illinois. Is that accurate? Am I missing something?
No, it's both, actually. I don't know how FanDuel's gotten in the mix. I don't care. I signed up for it to get my stupid bonus. But I think DraftKings is the one that's attached to the Alton Casino, Alton, Illinois Casino. And they're ready to roll because they've done this before, and they actually acknowledge that sports betting has been around forever as opposed to Bet Rivers. So, yeah, they're ready to jump in, and I'm ready for it because Rivers has – they suck. And I think what you want to get to is I saw it eventually, like they've changed the odds on the Sox World Series. They didn't change the odds. They changed the maximum amount
you could bet. There were sharps that were so pissed on Twitter. And it wasn't just the Sox World Series bet. It was like, it was very inconsistent. Like these guys weren't even necessarily winning money. And all of a sudden it's like my max bet now is $6. And I want to throw $1,000. And it's like, what the fuck are they doing on Bet Rivers? Come on, Displanes.
It's the thing. Like we've been saying all along, they're pretending like this has never happened before. And I get it, they're new, but they get competition. Like, I'm so ready to jump off of fucking Rivers. Like, I have nothing for them. Their website sucks. They can't, like, weeks ago we were told their app would be ready. It's not. So I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know these shenanigans are running up. But let's be honest, if you're a sharp, you're not betting through Bet Rivers, right? Like, I know, like, I've seen the same Twitter things. Like, I know you, I saw the same things. If you're claiming to be a sharp, you're not in fucking, you know, sitting in Romeoville, Illinois, betting on betrivers.com, and you're worried about your $100 wager on Bundesliga 04. What was the team?
Watch your mouth. FC Schalke 04 in the Bundesliga. They suck. I haven't bet on them. Thank God.
What does the 04 stand for?
1904. That's the year that they were founded. Okay.
That's pretty sweet, actually. Yeah. I like that. Bears 20. Right? Isn't it? Were they 19? Yeah. 100 years. Bears 20 would be fucking sweet. Chicago 20. What about the... Oh, I almost said it. Washington, whatever year. Washington 20. How sweet would that be?
That would be awesome. Daniel Snyder just got a free idea. Doesn't even need to be bounced off your PR assholes. Make it happen, Dan Snyder. Yeah, I'm ready for a new technology here in the state of Illinois as well. Fuck you, Bet Rivers. The fact you couldn't get an app together in a month, like... You already have legal gambling in Pennsylvania with another Rivers, like, casino, right? Like, what the fuck? What's going on? So now bring on the old guard, if you will, the FanDuels, the DraftKings of the world. I am willing to get your $50, you cheap-ass bonus. So you said you signed up. Did you get the bonus? Like, walk us through. To listeners that haven't downloaded such things yet, tell us, Dan.
So I had a FanDuel account previously DFS fantasy sports, whatever. Stupid, dumb. I suck at that. I suck at the real deal. I suck at that as well. Bears Fantasy Corner. We need to bring that back. That, speaking of which, so I signed up, but it was a lot of confusion over what account do I use? I use a FanDuel. Do I have to set up a new one? Signed up, and I now get I get probably 3 emails a day. It's like, we've updated your bonus amount, and it's the same thing. They just keep sending me the same email. So it makes me wonder if just everyone is a disaster. And maybe they're just their own entity in Illinois that they just don't know what the fuck they're doing, which is funny. Like, you and I could figure it out in 10 minutes. We apparently have all the answers. I just explained to you how soccer should work. So I apparently know how online gaming should work as well. So we got it all figured out here, Bill. But it's, I don't know, it could be the same shit, but their app, they have an app. Like, that's a good start. It looks more user-friendly than Rivers not having an app and their stupid geolocating. Fuck you. But I tried to figure out a way to hustle the system with the VPN with FanDuel and say I was, because in Indiana you can use FanDuel. Still doesn't work. So the VPN stuff, I'm dumb with it. I'll admit it. It was supposed to be easy. Can't figure it out. Also a problem for watching Cubs games. I don't know what I'm going to do. Marquee Network, not on Comcast yet. So I think, and I was like, I think on my laptop, I can use the VPN to hustle the system, but they've gotten better about using the app on your phone. They use like your actual, like a geo fencing to figure out where you're at. So if I'm not in Chicago, I can watch the Cubs and Marquee Network, but if I'm in Chicago, I can't watch it. So I think I got to bite the bullet and get fucking Hulu TV or whatever. Fuck.
Fuck you, Ricketts. Fuck you. And we understand that sometimes hams and bread intersect. We get it. It's confusing. We do it each and every episode, even though hams and Ted, it's only been on two times. It's coming back. Don't worry. Spoiler alert, Dan alluded to it. I definitely, if you agree, have the full intention of bringing back Bears Fantasy Corner for the 2020 season, at least to start. I think we can get some mileage out of it. I feel good about it. You?
I feel amazing about it. You got a question today from our fantasy group about what's going on. I don't know. I like that you just went radio silent on that, because that's the only answer you could give. Who the fuck knows? They haven't even started camp. I don't know. I don't know.
Good news is we can keep our league is under 50, so we could do something somewhere. That's the best news. But no, Coach Cuse, I don't have an answer for you. It'll happen, though. If the league happens, the fantasy league will come back, as will the segment. This has been Hams and Bread. Dan, thank you so much for all of your gambling expertise, specifically around soccer.
Get better, EPL. Get better.
See me after class. See me after class.
This week's spotlight shines on Mike Mulligan. A staple.
Yes. See me after class.
My friends don't even know who you are. My friends don't even know who you are. My friends don't even
see me after class.
This is See Me After Class.
I won't, David. I won't. Shit stirring troll, a passive aggressive tweeter, and just a complete weird.
See me after class.
Oh, welcome back, Zero Stonks. Hams and Bread, Hams and Ted, we got through all of it. Now we're to the important shit, which is smack. I've been waiting for it. Dr. Fauci's been waiting for it. COVID is shivering in its boots for smack. I'd love if COVID, just a blanket COVID, got a smack. But okay, anyway, Bill, who is going to have to see you potentially after a school activity?
Thank you, Dan. Your welcomes are always warm. I always appreciate them. One of my favorite things about our friendship is doing a live smack in front of your face, in and around all of your crevices. And the nails are a-popping, don't come a-slapping. So here we go. This is going to be great. You mentioned that things were not going to be that heavy this episode. That is true. I wouldn't necessarily qualify this as heavy. I would just say it's going to continue the fuck you people that are assholes. So here we go. This week's spotlight shines on Fox Sports personality Clay Travis. Fuck him. Ears around Chicago have the good fortune of not having Clay's Nashville-based Fox Sports radio show Outkick Your Coverage available on their AM dial. So for the uninitiated, let's dive deep as to what Clay and his personality is all about. Here we go. 2 years ago, Clay wrote the book Republicans Buy Sneakers Too, How the Left is Ruining Sports with Politics. On Amazon, the description of this tome read as follows, quote, sports media superstar, that's questionable, Clay Travis wants to save sports from the social justice warriors seeking to turn them into another political battleground. Have you ever tuned into your favorite sports highlight show only to find the talking heads yammering about the newest Trump tweets or what an athlete thinks about the Second Amendment? The way Clay Travis sees it, sports are barely sports anymore, unquote. Well, first, let's be clear. I like an honest and sincere Republican as much as I love an honest and sincere Democrat. But let's take Clay at his word that he's annoyed by sports being overtaken by politics. The Twitter bio for his Outkick Your Coverage radio show describes it as, quote, fearless, data-driven sports reporting, unquote. A real cursory look at guests who appear on Clay's show include multiple senators, such as Florida's Marco Rubio and Pennsylvania's Pat Toomey. One such politician that Clay has recently blown kisses at is Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. Senator Hawley, if you missed it, recently sent an email to top NBA executives, officials, and reporters regarding his concerns over the league allowing players to put social justice slogans on the back of their jerseys. It's not that players were allowed to choose their slogans that bothered Senator Hawley, but the fact that their options did not include phrases like support our troops, or back the blue, or free Hong Kong. One of the recipients of this concerned email was ESPN reporter Adrian Wojnarowski, who replied with a fuck you to Senator Hawley, who then posted a screenshot of Woj's bomb, which had then led to Woj's recent ESPN suspension. Showing his desire to further separate sports from politics, Clay Travis's Outkick the Coverage website features weekly presidential polling updates presented under the guise of gambling odds. In the 48 hours prior to this recording, Clay also avoided politics by recording a video backslapping Ted Cruz after he attempted to dunk on Mark Cuban about something China-related. Clay also posted an article decrying Dr. Fauci being honored by throwing out the first pitch of the Washington Nationals season opener. Clay also posted a couple of Listen for Yourself articles around the Did She or Didn't She White House reporter who was rumored to have caught on microphone calling current and surely temporary White House press secretary Kayleigh McEnery a lying bitch. It should go without saying that we can all agree that Clay has the right to lean whichever direction he wants politically, of course, and produce whatever type of show he pleases. But I think it needs to be said that Clay's stance of the inclusion of politics in sports is offensive seems only true when they don't follow the vein of shut up and dribble. As to the data-driven sports experience description that his show promises, well, that might be challenged a bit by the fact that Clay Travis also fancies himself an amateur epidemiologist, attempting to keep afloat his February 24th cold take of, quote, I believe the coronavirus is overrated. The flu happens every year and affects far more people than the coronavirus does, unquote. Ever since presenting that erroneous opinion as fact, Clay has, for some stupid reason, presented daily videos of himself providing COVID-19 updates. He believes there's a large group of, quote, Corona bros, unquote, who are relishing in fear porn and actively rooting for the virus to continue to cancel everything that we hold dear. That seems like a kind of weird take. Look, I acknowledge that getting consistent, reliable data regarding this novel virus has at times felt confusing because, well, none of us have ever had to track pandemic statistics in our hometowns. The goal line has felt like it's been moving at times, and advice about how to best combat this virus is not always felt even. But can we put to rest the argument that this is the flu? The Center of Disease Control estimates that during the most recent six-month flu season in the United States, there were at most 62,000 flu deaths. CDC has been collecting COVID-19 statistics for the last 6 months and accounts for over 140,000 dead Americans through July 21st. Unless you're making the conscious decision to pretend that you're smarter than those responsible for diagnosing, treating, reporting, and confirming cases of a disease, 140,000 is to 62,000 as Hippocrates is to Clay Travis. Did I pronounce that right? He's a famous doctor back in the day. Clay's snake oil sales techniques consistently also include playing the media blame game. To wit, Clay's March 2nd tweet mocking of CNBC reporting Seattle's first three coronavirus deaths, saying, quote, "Imagine if the media covered car accident deaths like the coronavirus deaths. No one would ever drive a car," unquote. Now, ignoring for a moment that the news does, in fact, lustfully report deadly crashes of all types, who will ever forget the first time they got a mucus-transmitted virus after face-fucking a Chrysler LeBaron? It's obvious that Clay Travis doesn't notice the public danger it is to play doctor and downplay the risk that this not-yet-solved virus still causes. I know Clay wants his SEC football back in the fall. We all do, Clay. But maybe don't lie through your teeth to your followers who take your alternative facts as gospel. Beyond the stick with sports hypocrisy noted earlier, Clay Travis seems to hide his prejudice by painting himself as being against the angry mob who is, in his mind, expressing outrage just for the sake of political correctness. When the majority of human beings were rightly disgusted with the outed racism of ex-LA Clippers owner Donald Sterling in 2014, Clay Travis quickly penned a blog post in which he expressed his anger at Kobe Bryant? Quote, "Kobe Bryant said there's no place in the NBA for Donald Sterling. The mob cheered his taking a stand and demanded blood, evidently forgetting that Kobe Bryant allegedly raped a woman in Colorado. That's a pretty serious transgression, right? It's an actual action. Yet if Donald Sterling had to choose whether to be accused of rape and buy off his alleged victim or being caught on tape making a racist statement, he'd pick being accused of rape," unquote. Now, Clay likes to remind people that he's an attorney. He puts it in his Twitter bio just to let you know. But the straw man argument he makes in the previous quote conveniently ignores that the issues that led to Donald Sterling being run out of the league did not start or stop with being caught on tape making a racist statement. Clay ignores other information that came out when the NBA, then under new leadership in Commissioner Adam Silver, investigated whether Sterling deserved to continue being part of the league's fabric. Other facts that include Sterling bringing women into the Clippers locker room to ogle at what Sterling described as the players' quote, "beautiful black bodies," unquote. Let's not forget either that former Clippers VP of Player Operations, Elgin Baylor, once sued Sterling for race-based employment discrimination. In Sterling's prior life as a real estate mogul, former employees accused him of driving out black and Latino tenants because Sterling believed, quote, "they smell and they attract vermin," unquote. Might any of these examples qualify as actual actions, Counselor Travis? I mean, I, for one, sure am glad that Clay Travis chose the I hate cancel culture route when the stand up against racist avenue was readily available. What bravery, Clay. What intellect. What an impressive mind you have. Well, you may be shocked to learn that Clay might be an absolute creep, too. Clay's 2008 book, titled Man, the Book, has the following description on Amazon. Quote, "tongue-in-cheek tips on how to reclaim masculinity in a feminine aged. an feminized age, organized into such categories as bars and restaurants and sports, unquote. Check out just a few of these hilarious tongue-in-cheek tips, guys. Quote, libraries and hospitals are the two hardest places to pick up chicks. This is because women are usually sober and or dying. At a hospital, go straight for the rape victims and offer your protection. Cha-ching, unquote. Here's another one. Quote, when stuck in a natural disaster with a girl, claim you don't want to die a virgin. If she says yes, she is stupid. If she declines and you survive, tell all your friends that she is a bull dyke, but you almost converted her, unquote. Quote, age of consent is only an issue if you actually have sex. Looking is no crime, unquote. Here's another one. Quote, female coworkers are to be treated with respect. Say nice ass instead of just slapping it, unquote. This last one, I left out about 100, but here's the last one. Quote, if you first see her in a bathing suit at a water park with her family, she's probably too young, so you probably don't need a condom, unquote. Are you laughing as hard as I am, loyal listener? On a totally unrelated note, someone might want to comb over the sex offender registry in Nashville to see if there is one Richard Clay Travis who should be keeping 500 yards between himself and your 13-year-old niece. So let's summarize, shall we? Clay Travis is a phony, a charlatan, an opportunistic fake intellectual targeting the stupid for his own profit, a guy who covers his misogyny and his apparent pedophilia with tongue-in-cheek humor while living life as a failed two-bit attorney and a grandstanding dumpster of human garbage. Clay Travis, see me after class!
Alright, we're wrapping this motherfucker up. That was a great smack. Clay Travis, you're a piece of shit, and I hope you... I was going to say get COVID. I just said it, didn't I? Whoops. Alright, Clay Travis, go fuck yourself. Alright, let's wrap it up here. I don't know what we're going to talk about. Camp will be live maybe next time we talk. Cubs will be undefeated. Sox will probably have fired Rick Renteria because it will have gone so poorly. They'll probably fire him because he looks very pudgy in his mask. I have no room to talk there. But I got something for you, Bill. I got a random one for you tonight. Have you ever seen the all or nothing NFL on Amazon Prime? They follow NFL teams for an entire year. You ever watched it?
I know of it. I remember seeing a Falcons billboard, I think, in New York City when I was visiting during the first version of that. Never actually watched it, though. I kind of feel bad about it. Tell me more.
It's kind of like Hard Knocks, but during the season. I kind of love it. They're not all great, and I'm behind. Like, I just recently watched a bunch of them. One of the Cowboys one was awesome because it was like very close, like in coaches meetings and all that. The last one was with the 2019 Eagles. Wasn't great because it was no, like it was in the locker room and stuff, but it was not like Doug Peterson didn't like Doug Peterson wasn't involved in the interviews. But Pompey, I'm sure, was 69ing him at some point in the background. Was that the joke you were going to?
Well, it was it's Doug Peterson, though, not involved in the interviews. Did you see his puka shells from a distance?
I did not see his puka shells, unfortunately. So this is a really roundabout way that I'm going to get to my question for you. So I finished that Eagles season of last year, and it was okay. I wouldn't highly recommend it. If there's one I'd recommend, it's the Cowboys one from like 2017-ish, whatever. But I was like, what am I going to watch next? So there's an all or nothing for the New Zealand rugby team, the All Blacks, which seems like a problematic name in itself. You're familiar. You haven't watched the show. So let me start by saying rugby players are fucking animals. They are unbelievable. Holy shit. Second thing, I don't know how anybody who's from New Zealand or Australia ever comes to the U.S. to live. Like, that place is, it's fucking beautiful. Everyone there seems nice and cool. They all seem to love their families. Like, they all seem to have their shit together. Granted, I'm watching a documentary, and it's very, I'm seeing the good shit. But here's the thing that I took from it that I can't get past is rugby. Do you know what they, when you get a penalty, like a yellow card, you have to leave the field for 10 minutes. Do you know what they call it? They call it the sin bin. The fucking sin bin. How awesome is that? So I'm like, and they say it so casually, like, oh, he's going to the sin bin. And it made me wonder what, like, how could we change that, like, something here to be like the penalty box is the only way. And I don't know if you have any ideas. Like, I had one initially. I was like, do you call it the bang box? But they have like a super cool way of like speaking and language there. And it's very casual, and it like they just like it, like mentioned like, oh, he got a yellow card. It's a sin bin. I was like, excuse me? I threw on captions to make sure I heard that correctly. But maybe my favorite part of the show.
That's fantastic. I've never watched Australian or New Zealand rugby. I believe there's a movie with Morgan Freeman as Nelson Mandela about the All Blacks. Is that accurate? I think it is. I should know more.
Well, All Blacks. They're New Zealand. So maybe is there a game involved? They're one of their rivals is Australia and South Africa. I don't know. I'm all over the map. Mandela is South Africa.
Yeah. So maybe,
too many hams.
Maybe too many hams. Yeah, that's like my only exposure to it. Love the fact that you watched. Well, walk me through. Is it one documentary? Is it a series? It's a series. Yeah. Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime. So if you're a Prime member, no big deal. It's like $100 a year. Is that? I feel like, does anybody know? I don't know that I don't think I've ever recognized that they've taken money out of my account, but. I'm a Prime member. I don't want to brag. I think I have been since like 1987. But it's six episodes. They're about 45 minutes long. They drag on a bit. It's fast. Like, just the way, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm a Flight of the Conchords fan. So that popped in my head numerous times. I finished it last night and had to immediately watch like three episodes of Flight of the Conchords. But it's just like the same general vibe of like, everything's fine, everything's cool, like we're not overly worked up about shit. But I was like, where they live, there's like, you can be in the fucking mountains, you be at the beach, everyone's nice, everyone's chill, everyone's cool. Recently they've like, there's no COVID in New Zealand. Like, they clearly have their shit together. It's like 5 million people, I think, on that in that country. So a little bit more manageable, but still, like, we're a fucking disaster. I'm like, how could you live in New Zealand? And I lump Australia in there because it's similar-ish and it's close, and move to like Chicago. I love Chicago, but you move here with the fucking winter. Everyone's an asshole. We got just COVID. We're just breathing COVID into each other's mouths. There's shootings just randomly happening. Why would you ever do that? I wouldn't.
No, it's totally fair. And yeah, I miss Flight of the Conchords. That's a great show. Murray and Jermaine and what's the other guy's name that kind of looks like?
Brett.
Yeah, Brett. He looks like Joe Doinks a little bit, right? We did a Halloween thing. Were you in Chicago yet when we did a Halloween Flight of the Conchords thing? I was Murray. I had a great looking wig.
I think I was around. Yeah, I definitely was. I think it was like 07-ish when that. Yeah, it was around.
Yeah.
I don't know. I did a lot of drinking then.
Then? Yeah, absolutely. It definitely dropped off since then. Okay, while we're speaking about documentaries, I've been watching two. I just finished one on Netflix. It was a short series, and I'm currently watching one on HBO that's not quite finished. Netflix one, Jeffrey Epstein. Have you watched it?
No, and I've avoided it intentionally because that seems extra creepy. So I've what's your review?
Yes, it's creepy. No getting around it. And my guess is, well, here's a couple things about it, I guess. One, surprised that Clay Travis wasn't in it, you know, based off of the See Me After Class. Two, it is timely based off of a recent arrest. So that's why I actually watched it, because I'm like, I'm kind of ignorant toward this whole thing. I don't know a lot about it. I would say worth watching. I don't know if you saw any of the R. Kelly documentary stuff. This is a not quite as disgusting feeling after you watch it situation, but I'd put it in a similar genre. So fuck you, Jeffrey Epstein. Did you kill yourself or were you murdered?
He TBA. Was definitely murdered. Ghislaine, right? Ghislaine, I think, is his, is that his girlfriend? She's definitely going to get murdered, right? In jail. So, I mean, that's the running joke now. It's
yeah.
Like, rest in peace before he actually died.
Right.
Cause
yeah.
You know, where somebody all the bodies are buried.
Right.
To it. Maybe literally. No, I've avoided that one. I know it's like, it pops up on Netflix. Is like, this is what everyone's watching. This is what Bill's watching. I don't know why it's showing me what you're watching. We're not sharing an account, but no, I haven't gotten there yet.
I don't blame you. I had avoided it until it was recommended to me by somebody that we both know. I'm like, okay, fine. I'm running out of things to watch. I thought it was good. Like it gave me knowledge about something I was previously ignorant toward. So, you know, plus one, wouldn't watch it again, of course. HBO series. I log into your mom's account still, although I realize that that's ending soon.
That's weird.
Yeah, the Beazle.
Yeah,
I'll Be Gone in the Dark, Patton Oswalt's deceased wife. Do you know about this?
Have not seen it. That's the Golden State Killer. I know that I sort of know the story. Unbelievable story, including Patton Oswalt's wife who died. Like, and then he sort of finished he had the story. You're shaking your head. Yes, you should be explaining, but as I understand it, he helped finish the story with a publisher, and then they caught the guy through like a spoiler alert, right? I think I'm getting there. Like through like, have you not finished it?
It's not done yet. So I don't know. I actually don't know. So I am going to ask you to not tell me the finishing touch.
Okay, I do know. I do know how it ends. I know this story. Done. Not saying anymore.
Thank you so much. What a friend.
I got one more for you. This one was a bit more light. I don't know if Jordan Doinks will enjoy me sharing this. she's probably not listening. She and I may have partaken in some recently legal things in Illinois last weekend, and we turned on Unsolved Mysteries, which has popped up on Netflix. But we landed upon, I think it's like the third episode, which is all subtitles. It's French subtitles.
Yep.
Which, if you're a fair amount of high, is maybe not like But I was like so enthralled. Like Jordan like passed out and I was like locked in. I legitimately felt like I was in fucking France. It was a terrifying way to watch that show because I had to be locked in to read the subtitles that I was like, I felt like my eyes were going to like fall out of my face because I was high. And I was also trying to follow the story. You know it.
Oh, I know it. Have you watched all of them yet? Because I did. Both Chris and Doinks and I did. Where did you...
That was it. That was the last one. Because that took all of my effort being high and watching the French episode, which was fucked up. Totally. I haven't enjoyed it to this point. I'll say that because I'm what do they call it? I'm a Dateline stan. Is that what they call it? A stan? You're like a Kobe stan, like you.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. You know, all right. I get it. I get it now. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm a Dateline guy. I need a finish at the end. I need to know how it ends.
I need to finish.
So I need to know, like, it's hard for me to get to the end of Unsolved Mysteries knowing that it's like unsolved. Like, that's hard for me to. I'm like, what the fuck? Finish it off. Like, so when you're high and you're reading French subtitles, you're like, what the fuck? Oui, oui. What the fuck?
No, that makes all the sense in the world to me. I would encourage you, because we need to talk about it on the next Zero Dunks, which will be hopefully in the middle of training camp or whatever. There's one coming up that involves a UFO issue. That's where I thought you were going with, like, I'm high and I'm seeing this. That would be amazing on edibles or, you know, smoking a reefer or whatever. I would highly encourage that.
Okay, I'll take you up on that. I'll make that happen before the next one. I'll be high. I'll get high and watch the UFO one.
And take notes. Can you take notes for the audience and myself? Do it.
Literally no promises. I can take notes. In my limited experience as an amateur drug guy. Can we call them? Yeah, they're still drugs. I will try my best. But Unsolved Mysteries is... I don't know. I didn't know how this turned into a documentary thing. Have you seen... Have we talked about this yet? McMillions on HBO?
Yes, we've not talked about it. Yes, I have seen it. Loved it.
Awesome. Super upset that I wasn't a part of it. I know I was young, and I know that like I couldn't have been, but I would love it. I know a lot of people in my neighborhood work for corporate McDonald's, and every one of them I've told the next McMillions I want to be a part of. That's a fair request.
I think it's completely fair. I'll be honest. When I watch like some of them, I watch and I'm like, I don't remember how the scam totally worked. Like, what are they doing with these tiny pieces? There's a lot of Ziploc bags. There's a lot of people who kind of know each other from small towns. I don't really get it. But yeah, I'm with you. Next time I want in, I want to absolutely, you know, just cash some checks. Let's make it happen, Big Macs.
Because there's like, for McDonald's, it means nothing. It meant nothing. Like, totally didn't even... wasn't a blip on their radar just because they were idiots about it when they hired, you know, they roped in like asshole, like criminals who, I don't know, whatever this spoiler alert, you watch it. If you're listening and you haven't seen it, just fucking watch it. It's pretty sweet. There's a lot of awesome characters in it. That was the best part. Everyone was awesome in it.
That Florida FBI guy wore the button-down shirts are way too big. That guy loved his 15 minutes of fame. That was great. That was fantastic. That was an excellent one. Apparently, this has been a documentary review. We haven't really talked about it in a while since quarantine season was in full rage here in the state of Illinois.
I'm shocked you in talking through this that you haven't come up with a documentary type of jingle or song. I don't know how to... Jingle's not right. That's like a fucking commercial. And that jingle sounds like a 90-year-old man would say. But you'll come up with something.
thinking about it now. Do we do a, yeah, some type of documentary corner? The wheels are turning. I cannot wait to workshop this with Coach Cuse and Rick Fieldsman. It's going to be hot. It's going to be awesome. This has been a great episode. I've enjoyed it. Hopefully the audience has. It's been fun. It's great having real sports back as of tonight and tomorrow for us Chicago baseball fans. It's going to be awesome. By the time you hear this, the Sox will be 1-0. The Cubs will be 1-0. David Ross is going to be off to a Hall of Fame managerial start. Chris Bryant is going to opt out after one game because there's probably something in his contract that, you know, helps him out in that category. I'm not entirely sure, but things are going to be amazing. The Bears are coming soon. Thank God. Will Nick Foles opt in? We know nothing about the NFL's plan. It doesn't matter. We love sports. God damn it. It's a great time to be alive despite the pandemic. I love you, Dan Doinks.
Love you too, Bill Doinks. Thank you to Phil as well, and thank you to Hams, because I'm drinking a lot of it tonight. Thank you very much, Hams. But no, this has been fun. It's been fun to do it in person. One more time, in case you're wondering. Phil's doing some work in his basement. Those were nails. He's a nails guy now.
I am. I'm a big Bob Vila guy. I think I neglected to thank Coach Cuse and Rick Fieldsman for helping to produce the jingle, as Dan Doinks would say, of Fans and Eggs. And yes, thank you, Phil from Indiana, for participating, being the debut. You were amazing. Thank you for listening, as always. We love you. See you next episode, Zdoinks.
Dr. Fauci.
Oh my God, okay, hold on.